Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer promise, comments, questions, and concerns. And at 10 o'clock, we will talk energy with our resident energy expert, Peter Kelly Detweiler. He'll come in and chat with us about what's going on with the energy market, how data centers could impact it, and all the discussions of all these different states who want to become data center centers.
Yeah, they're all climbing the walls to do it, but I don't know if they really understand what's
clearly
involved.
They don't, considering our electric bills. So clearly. So we'll see. We'll have Peter Kelly on. We're excited to have him back to talk energy. But as usual and customary, we do chat about issues and technology problems and things that you might find in the news that we come across as geeks or just regular people. In the news recently, Yale New Haven is back in the news. Their health system has going to start notifying 5.5 million people. That's a lot of stamps, Dennis.
5.5 million people. Yeah. This is Yale New Haven.
Correct. They're going to keep
Connecticut only has, what, 3 million people? Three and a half?
Right. 5.5
million. 5.5
million.
Yes. Wow, that's some reach.
That they're going to have to let them know that their private details were likely stolen. And this is the second hack that has happened out there. First one we told you guys about recently, relatively recently, it was a few years ago, where a third-party software they were using to register patients. My own son was involved in this. 800,000 Connecticutians were impacted with that breach. This one now is 5.5 million. Your Social Security information may have been leaked.
Oh.
And, of course, they were worried whether or not they were going to have any kind of ransomware or systems interruptions. Thankfully, that didn't happen, and they're crediting their team's quick action in identifying to help contain the incident, which is great. It is nice. The technology is out there. I mean, companies like us provide that type of technology to our small business clients by default. It is a primary EDR technology that we put out on all our client systems so that we can detect what the bad guys are trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the bad guys do like to go for big healthcare systems. Why? Because you're going to pay.
Right.
You tend to pay, even though FBI tells you not to. You tend to do that, and you are heavily insured, which is another thing that the bad guys do. They check to see your cyber insurance coverage to see if they're going to get paid more.
Yep.
Kind of ironically, like the healthcare system does, because if you don't have healthcare, they'll charge you less. Yeah. But if you do have healthcare, they'll charge you through the nose.
Right.
They'll
even look at your cyber insurance coverage if they find that out.
Which they can easily do.
Yeah, and they will actually, you know, arrive at a number
based on that. So we'll put the link up here for you guys to read the story. You should be receiving something. They started sending out letters. So again, they're helping the post office become solvent again. April 14th, sending out 5.5 million letters just to let you know that they've been breached again. So take a look at that. Anything else you want to bring up, Dennis?
I'd like to follow up on something that we mentioned last week.
Yeah, sure.
Microsoft put out an update to Windows 11.
They did.
That, among other things, was creating an empty inetpub directory on the root of C on every Windows 11 drive that it touched.
And they told us not to delete it.
They told us not to delete it because deleting it will make your computer less secure.
Right.
Okay.
And then you had a canary in here, man. You were like, what are you talking about, Microsoft?
What I said last week is that whenever you have an extra thing on your computer, no matter what it is, it expands your security footprint. Mm-hmm. And by nature, makes you potentially, at least in theory, less secure.
You did say that.
What do you know?
Yep.
It turns out that that empty directory on your computer can be exploited by bad guys.
Right.
And among other things, they can do it. They can do something in a way that prevents Windows updates from installing on your computer.
Perfect. Perfect.
And I'm pretty sure that the number of exploits that are available for this are not limited to that effect.
Right.
There's other things.
Well, this is new.
This is just one thing that's been determined as a possibility. So, hey, I called it. You know?
You called it.
And seriously, I mean, Microsoft has to stop doing stuff like this.
Well, what do you want, Dennis? The software's free. What do you want? Come on, it's free, Dennis.
Their stuff isn't free.
The operating systems are now.
They are?
They are.
Really?
Yeah, your update's free. You know, going to Windows 10, that update was free. It's all free, Dennis. What do you want from the poor folks at Microsoft? It's free.
Actually, you paid for it when you bought the computer, and the updates are free, but Windows is not.
You're paying for it.
You are paying for it. You're paying for it, and they are they are harming you. Right.
Incidentally. And there's no warranty on it.
Right.
So,
no warranty.
They're going to deprecate Windows 10 in October, meaning they're no longer going to update it and secure it with patches. Yet you ask yourself, wait a minute. Now I go to Windows 11 and this update and security patch creates another vulnerability. Which is it? And this is the constant pattern of Microsoft.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so you're making me change all these computers. We have clients that are like having to spend lots of money to upgrade their workstations because they're not capable, because they're 6-7 years old, which is, of course, what we hope to get out of a computer, at least if you're buying anything in a technology world. And they're like, okay, I guess I got to replace it because it's not capable of upgrading. And then they have this story to come out. So wait a minute. You're telling me that if I don't upgrade from Windows 10, I'm not going to get a security patch. But if I do upgrade to Windows 11, I will get a security patch that makes me more vulnerable.
Yes.
You can't make it up, but that's where we are, and this is the craziness of this whole thing. We really would like to focus on how to make you more profitable and more productive.
Right. We want things to work right. We want your work life to be better.
Right.
We want your business to be more effective,
more secure, more successful.
Yeah.
But no, we're dealing with this type of stuff. Anything else you want to bring up, Dennis?
We have a workplace monitoring application.
No, this is a new technology that's out there because of remote work, probably.
And what it is software that businesses install on their
company's computers, yeah.
And it monitors the employees' activities on the computer.
Yes.
And it looks for anything that's out of line or problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that this one product of this type, as part of what it does, it periodically collects screenshots of what the person is doing, like every 10, 20 seconds or something like that.
You can't just jiggle the mouse.
Right. No. That's another thing.
Yeah.
And you can't watch NCAA basketball games during the tournament, all that.
Right.
At any rate, it collects these.
Yeah.
As part of the way that it processes them, it dumped them into Amazon Web Services or AWS.
Yep.
In what they called an S3 bucket, which is simple storage service.
Mm-hmm.
S3 times.
Yeah.
So S3.
Yeah.
The problem is that this bucket that they were temporarily being dumped into was not secured.
No, of course not.
And it was not restricted in any way.
Gotcha.
If you were able to put together the URL to open up to the web, if you are able to put together that URL and go to the site, you can see every single screenshot that was collected. There were 21 million of them that were exposed to the internet this way.
Yikes.
Yee.
So every screenshot.
Yes, every screenshot.
And the thing about these types of tools, your company may or may not even tell you they're doing it. They should tell you. They should tell you that they're doing it.
And
but they
may not. I understand that they're looking out for employees may not be working.
Right.
But what about people who are, and they're like doing, say, online banking for their company?
Oh yeah.
Somebody just got a screenshot that's got the bank account numbers and the balances. And maybe they're working on a ledger for the company. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is company data that's being risked in addition to anything nefarious that an employee might be doing.
Yeah,
maybe you're trying to keep them from doing.
Maybe you're picking your nose or something. And now, now the whole interweb has got a picture of you, right? I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, this is a whole bucket of 21 million screenshots of employees, what they're doing. And again, not secure, just dumped up there. Because who would have thought you need to secure data, Dennis? I mean, the idea of securing data is kind of silly.
Yeah, that's passe. Security is just too much trouble.
It is trouble. Yeah,
it is.
It's hard, Dennis. So we'll put the link up there for you guys. You can read it. Now, this type of technology is going to be used more and more and more and more as remote work becomes more and more a thing. Now, I know a lot of companies are forcing folks to go back into the office, and that's fine, right? But there's lots of, you know, a lot of smaller companies may not decide to do that. And so you're going to have a mixture of this technology, but it also can be used whether you're in the office as well.
Right.
You know, monitoring your workers doing their work is not a foreign thing. Their software has been around since this show started. It was called SpectreSoft. And we could get it at Staples. And we would have to load it on our client systems for, you know, owners who wanted to see what their people were doing. I remember one client who literally had it on his employee systems to see if they were doing any searches for MBAs or jobs that having to do with MBAs, because then he knew he had to replace them because they're looking to move on.
Go elsewhere, yeah.
And it worked very well for him. He's like, oh, I guess Bob's looking to move on. I guess I got to find his replacement. Sure enough, he gives his notice. He's already got his replacement. They move on like nothing happened. But that technology has been around for a very long time. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We'll do our best to take your calls. Get online early, because at 10 o'clock, Peter Kelly Detweiler will be talking energy. And he's our resident energy expert. We're excited to have him on. He's been on before. And he's the co-founder of Northbridge Energy Partners. Mm-hmm. And he's an energy consultant that is going to explain how the electrons move around the grid. And clearly, Connecticut doesn't know how that works.
Nope.
We'll be right back. And we are back. We're going to get right to it. You guys are nice enough to call us this first thing in the morning. We appreciate that. Let's go right to Todd in Sutton, Mass. What's happening, Todd?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. So I have a laptop that's the HP Spectre X360 convertible.
Nice.
I bought it in April of 2022, and it's got 16 gigs of RAM, Intel i7 core, and it's running Windows 10. Now, I have to upgrade because that support's going away, right, in the fall.
Yeah.
How easy is that? Can I just upgrade it like a normal, like I'm upgrading my Apple phone, or do I have to buy the Windows 11? How does that work?
It's automatic.
No, it should be automatic. It should already, at the very least, it should be listed as an optional Windows update that you can install.
So I'm looking at my computer. There's a thing called change product key or upgrade your edition of Windows. Is that the link I click on?
No, it wouldn't
it's
be there.
In settings? No?
No, it would settings. Be in Windows Update in the settings.
Yeah, because that thing you mentioned is to buy a different version of what you have.
Right.
But you can upgrade.
Oh, I do see Windows Update. It says you're not up to date. Thank you. thank you. Is this... the specs I gave you, is that good enough to run Windows 11 without a problem?
It should be, yeah.
16 gig i7, yeah.
Purchased in 2022?
Purchased in 22, yeah. You're going to be fine with Windows 11.
The only thing that you could possibly have a problem with is if you don't have your TPM turned on in the BIOS by default, it may not be.
Correct. You may have to enable it in the BIOS before it will work. What will happen is it'll try to upgrade to 11, and it will, something called PC health check will tell you that the computer isn't eligible, and it will mention a TPM.
Right.
And all you have to do is go into your BIOS and enable it, then restart it, and away you go.
Yeah, it should be no problem, Todd.
Yeah. On a 2022 computer, you do have the TPM chip that's necessary.
Yeah, and we can post how to turn it on, but each system is a little different.
Yeah, they're all a little, yeah.
So if you reboot it, would he hit like F2 or something to get into the BIOS, or what's the?
It depends on the model of the device.
Well, with HP, you can hit Escape while it's starting up, and then you'll get a boot menu, and then you'll see which option on that menu will get you into the BIOS or UEFI settings. It may be called that.
I'm 70-30 that you won't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very likely it'll just go.
All right, Todd.
Yeah, can I have one follow-up question? You guys talked about like...
Hang on 1 second, Todd. We had a hard break, sure. I'll hold you over to the break to the news. All right, we're going to hang out with Todd. We're going to get right back to Computer Talk after Morgan. Yeah, it's pretty safe. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And we're online with Todd out there in Sutton, Mass., who had a second question before the bottom of the hour. Go on, Todd.
Hi. You've talked before about like there's a free version of like an Excel compatible works. I don't want to type free Excel in Google because I don't know what I'm going to get.
No, you don't.
Find a link or tell me what to Google or what's the.
We have posted a link. I believe it's on the website already, and Mike G can post it over on Facebook. It's a product called LibreOffice, L-I-B-R-E, Office. It's basically an open source copy of Microsoft Office, and it includes Excel. There's a spreadsheet application in there, and it will open up Excel spreadsheets that you may already have. And it will actually even allow you to save them that way, too, in that format. So if you send a spreadsheet to somebody else, they should be able to open it if they have Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be some tiny little compatibility glitches here or there. But for the most part, you're not going to have any trouble.
Yeah.
Really not.
And it's free.
Yep. Sure. Yeah, it is.
I love
it's
that.
Free, open source.
Okay, great. Thanks for all your help, guys. Appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
Our pleasure.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Now, Joey was talking a little bit off air because he did a Windows 11 update, and then his laptop manufacturer did something funky to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Off, even though you're already Windows 11. Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense, Joey.
Well, I don't know why they for so many years they were putting the TPMs into the computers,
right,
and were disabling them out of the factory. I mean, just for the first 15 years that they had them in computers.
Yeah, they've been on for a long time.
Yeah. They were all disabled by default.
Mm-hmm.
Universally. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. Why not just leave it freaking available?
Yeah.
They didn't have enough good enough lobbying firm.
I guess not.
The TPM module lobbying firm.
They got their module on there, Joey.
Yeah, they got it on there, but using it, that's a whole nother thing.
Well, we do appreciate that. So there's an update for you from our illustrious producer, Joey, who's been with us for 19 years, you said?
Yeah, 19 years.
That's awesome. So getting back to the calls, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here to help you guys out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And coming up at 10 o'clock, we will have Peter Kelly Detweiler on talking energy, right? Because, so, you know, back in the 80s, Dennis, you know, if someone came up to me, you know, I'm just a 10-year-old walking around on the street, and someone came up to me and said, hey, Eric, in the year 2025, do you think you're going to need more or less electric power here in Connecticut? What do you think, you know, some goofy 10-year-old is going to say? What do you think?
Well, yeah.
More, right?
Right. Yeah. More is better, right?
That would be my answer.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
The year 2000, dot-com bubble, right? Oh, my gosh. All the technology that was out there and all the money we threw at the stock market. Asking me at that point, do you think, hey, Eric, you're you know, a little older. Do you think we're going to need energy? More energy in the year 2025 or less electric energy? I would have said more.
Well, yeah.
But somehow in Connecticut, that's not what we do. We don't think ahead, it seems. We don't even know how electric power works, it would seem, in Connecticut, considering we're the second or even highest electric bills in the nation. You know, we're one of the smartest states, I would contend, in the United States. We have these amazing actuarials, these amazing engineers. We make nuclear submarines. We make jet fighters. We make helicopters. We make all these amazing technologies, but we don't understand how power works. And we don't understand how finance works either. Well, that's a whole other issue when it comes to how we manage our money. But here we are, the year 2025, and we want to become the data center, right, of America.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking? You didn't plan for the fact that you needed more energy. Why would you think someone's going to invest in Connecticut to plop a data center here? One of the highest costs to do business in the 50 states. And the energy to do it is just crazy. Obviously, we had Peter on before, and the discussion was, would electric rates for ratepayers go up if a data center was plugged into the nuclear power down there?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah.
Absolutely.
Your costs are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So had you planned for getting clean, abundant natural gas in here, and you had tapped on our friends over at Pratt & Whitney and said, hey, can you guys power up some turbines? We could be just plentiful with energy here.
Well, something else that the state did.
Yeah.
When the trash to energy plant in Hartford was aging.
Yeah.
They just let it die.
Right. Yeah.
So now we have one less power plant. And not that trash to energy produces large amounts of energy.
It's just another example.
It's just another source that we had.
Right.
And they let it die instead of keeping it up and keeping it operational.
Right. I was part of the Board of Water Commissioners in Southington for 7 years. And believe it or not, we actually sat down and looked at, forgive me, I can't remember if it was a 50-year plan of water usage or a 100-year plan of water usage. But it was out into the future because we said as a board, we may need more water or we may not. Maybe we're going to shrink as a town and nobody's going to want to come to our town. But no, we're a good town. We planned on growing the town. And so we put plans together to have enough pipes and enough sources so that we can support more people 50 to 100 years out. Why did nobody do that with energy in Connecticut? Clearly you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Clearly you thought to yourself, most of the folks who were in the legislature when you were 10 and you answered that question, you said, nah, we're going to be using pen and paper. Come on. Electricity is just a newfangled thing. Who needs light bulbs in Connecticut? So we'll see what Peter has to say. I'm excited to talk with him because he's one of the foremost experts on energy. It's what he does. And with this whole data center thing and this big push for data centers, and again, different states are all vying for becoming data center meccas. Of course, we had the story about the UK. They, too, want to be a data center.
Right. But in the UK, it turns out that energy is even more expensive than it is in Connecticut.
Right. So, guys, you're not going to be getting any data centers in the UK. Where are they going to go, do you think? Well, the third world is where most of these data centers would probably make sense to go, right?
Yeah.
Where energy's cheap and they don't really care about how you power it. China just builds coal power plants all the time.
Yeah. They just put them right up and let them
belch.
Chuck the dirt into the air.
So, again, if we had planned, because we are one of the smartest states in the nation, I would contend, to have plentiful, cheap, relatively clean energy by the year 2025 via natural gas, one of the largest sources of power.
Or nuclear energy.
At
one time, Connecticut had 3 operational nuclear plants.
Right. Now we don't.
No.
You're right.
Another thing that was just allowed to die.
Right.
Yep.
So we'll talk to Peter. And again, maybe as a state, we can do a little better job of asking 10-year-olds what we might need.
And you know what? Maybe we should be asking 10-year-olds.
Well, that's exactly my point. Why do you think I started with that, Dennis? Because they're going to be the ones telling, well, duh. Let's go to Gary in Weathersfield. Hey, Gary.
Good morning.
Morning.
I got a question about the iNet folder that Windows installed.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Automatically. Can I rename it? The article posted at Computer Talk didn't really – it said you could delete it, but –
Here's the thing about that. I think, I can't be entirely sure, okay? But I think that whatever Microsoft is doing is just going to reconstitute that directory if you remove it or rename it to something else.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I mean, I really just talked about how it opened up the security footprint of the computer, and we posted that article about the issue that's now an exploit.
Right.
But honestly, I would leave it alone. Given the fact that it's probably going to come back anyway, just leave it alone. Eventually, Microsoft will figure out what it's doing with this thing. It might take them a year.
Yeah.
But they're going to figure it out and they're going to fix it finally someday.
Maybe.
Just, yeah, they're likely to get a handle on it. Like I said, it might take them a few months.
Imagine if we were talking about cars or airplanes the same way. They're likely to fix it. Okay. It may not fall out of the sky. They're likely to fix it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the help.
Yeah.
Right, you gotta
I wish I had a better answer than that for you, but we're kind of backed up against the wall with them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to delete it just in case it did do something. I figured maybe if I rename it, and see what happens. But then again, if I couldn't get back in and rename it back to what it should be, I'd be down a whole rabbit hole. So.
Yeah, you'd have to do a restore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or go to recovery point.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, true. That's true. Yeah.
If you got that running.
Well, thank you for your... I'm going to leave it. So.
All right, Gary.
I do have it running. Yes, I'm sorry. I do have it running.
Good.
So, okay. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So, just before we go to the break, I attended my first bachelorette party.
What?
Hmm.
Okay. Do tell.
I was included. of course, the price of admission to the bachelorette party was me buying all the girls sushi and wine.
Oh.
I didn't wear any tiaras or any of that kind of stuff, but it was fun. My firstborn is at his bachelor party right now in Virginia Beach. And so all the fiancés all hung out at our house last night, and I was officially probably one of the rare males at a bachelorette party.
Please tell me someone has a picture of you with like a face mask on, sitting there with cucumbers on your eyes, patchouli oil in the background.
Nope, they didn't do any of that.
I will pay.
Nobody get any, no pedicures happening here, but I was there. I just wanted to say that it was nice of them to invite me. But then again, I did buy them sushi. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. Feel free to get online. Then coming up at 10 o'clock, Peter Kelly Detweiler will talk with us about energy. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 this morning. And we posted everything live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Dennis posted all live there. And it is extremely live. It's all there, right up there for you to look at almost instantly now. We've got that pretty much linked.
We had a problem for a while where the links weren't getting posted immediately, but that's changed.
Yep. Even geeks have trouble with technology. Trust us.
Yep.
Just regular people. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. If you go to the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, you can ask to join. Only reason we ask is because you don't want all the bots to send you all the spam that you would get if you just let everybody in. So we want to make sure you're not a bot. Or technically a crackpot too. So we'll let you go in there and you can watch us there, and all the links get posted as well. And of course, we are now doing a YouTube broadcast as well. So we're simulcast, Dennis.
Yeah, simulcast twice over.
Yeah, that's a lot of simulcasting.
Yeah.
And so you can check us out there. And of course, the Odyssey app is really one of the better places to get us. So, listening on the Odyssey app means you can listen anytime, anywhere, on whatever device you get your podcast, whether it be Odyssey app or you can get it from any of the podcasts that are out there, podcast services. I think except Spotify, Joey. I don't think we're on Spotify. I've checked a few times.
That's weird.
Otherwise, we're everywhere. And so the Odyssey app is great for that. So you're going to be listening to, I guess, Yard Goats Baseball is going to be on the Odyssey app. So a great way to get your information. And from what I've read something about Odyssey, they talked about all the ears that are out there these days. It's a huge audience still listening.
Right.
You know, you think they're not there anymore, but they really are there. But they're using different technologies to get there. You're using it. You're not tuned into us right now. You may not be at a dump run right now listening to us, but you'll listen to us later on the Odyssey app.
Right.
Which is a lovely thing. So you can go out to WTIC to get it, download it, put it on your phone, put it on your tablet, put it on your TV, wherever you want to put it. You can listen to these things and we'll be there for you.
Well, before I started doing the show, I used to listen to it in real time through my Echo Dot.
You did?
Yeah. I would tell it to start playing the station.
Nice.
And then it would come on and I could listen. It was great.
And here you are, Dennis.
And now I'm doing it. I'm from the working on it from the inside.
And we're happy that you are. So as we wait for calls, we have nothing right now. Four lines wide open, 860-522-9842. I know you guys know that we have a 10 o'clock guest on. Maybe that's the reason. But what do you want to bring up there, Dennis?
Well, I wanted to mention something that is going on out in California.
Uh-huh. There's something going on in California now.
There's a lot of things going on in California.
I guess they just surpassed Japan for their large GDP.
Yeah, it's the fourth largest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. At any rate, and this is talking about exposing data unnecessarily.
Exposing and things happening often in California.
There's a lot of exposure in California.
You knew where I was going. I think you did a better job of doing it. So go ahead.
All right. Blue Shield of California has a website.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, the people who run the website for the company want to know what people are doing on the website when they go to it. Okay.
Yeah.
So they use Google services to collect statistics on what people are doing with the website. That way they can keep on top of it. They can put in features that people are actually going to use.
Right.
Maybe take some out that aren't working. So on.
Yeah.
Well, nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that the way that they set up this statistical collection went a little further than they intended. And what it was doing was collecting things like search terms that people were entering into the search box on the website.
Mm.
So if you're looking for a provider for particular
services
problem that you might have... Yes. That you might not want everybody else in the world to know about.
Yeah, like Google.
Well, bam, Google just collected that.
And, of course, Google already knows who you are anyways.
Right.
So if you keep getting a lot of information for Preparation H or something like that, it's because of what you searched over on the
Blue Shield website. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I mean.
Nothing is sacred.
Here's the thing. We have a story about it. The reporter checked with Google and, among other things, asked, do you intend to delete this data?
Well, they said they'd never do anything evil, right? So what was their answer?
Their answer was they just would not commit to doing that.
Of course not.
So they know that they collected data. Google, that is, knows that they collected data that they probably shouldn't have been getting.
Right. And that you did not consent to give.
That you, as the user of the site, did not consent to give.
Right.
And they're just, apparently, they're just going to keep it. I mean, isn't that great?
That's big tech. If you don't understand big tech, that's big tech. That's what we're dealing with when it comes to big tech.
And it's another sign that people who run websites really need to know how to configure this stuff properly.
Yeah.
It's one thing to know which links somebody is clicking on your website, which is typically what they're looking for.
Yeah. Where are they going? What are they finding
interesting?
They want
to know what people are interacting with on the site.
Right.
And, you know, the Google product is great for that, but they don't necessarily need to know the different things that they're looking up while they're there. All you have to do as the manager of the website is configure that correctly so that stuff doesn't get collected. And they're just not paying attention.
And Google shouldn't be grabbing it anyways.
No.
They should be, less is more. You're just always supposed to go from least access to most. But of course, with Google, it's a big vacuum.
Right.
They know who you're logged in as on the browser, and then they know what you're searching. So.
Yeah.
If anything new is coming to your news feed as far as ads, you know why. I was going to grab MJ, but it looks like we're coming at the bottom of the hour. Oh. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then coming up at 10 o'clock, Peter Kelly Detweiler will be here talking energy. Last time he was here, it was fascinating. He's also starting to write a new column for RTO Insider, which, of course, talks about the what's happening in the industry as far as where data centers are impacting energy. And again, big tech. So if people like big tech will do what Dennis just talked about, guess what's going to happen in your neighborhood? You're getting a power plant because big tech gets what it wants. So stick around for that. Looking forward to talking with Peter and seeing just what our rates might look like with all the changes that could be coming down the pike. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. Everything's on our Facebook page as well. Thanks to Mike G and Twitter. If you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, it'll be there in your feed. We'll be right back.